We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in picturesque tree-lined South St. Louis City, Ascension Lutheran Church.
And just a walking distance from Ted Drew's ice cream, right?
It doesn't get any better than that.
There you go. Of course, you know, we have Casey's. We have Casey's in Nathan's. You can go to Nathan's and get an ice cream cone or a frozen Coke. Can't get no frozen Coke, can you, from Ted Drew's?
I don't know. Not that I know of.
I'm Pastor Jolly John McCumsky. I do live in Nathan's, Illinois. I'm pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran at that location and also my parish in Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. There are no tree-lined boulevards in either of those towns.
It is beautiful, though. Yeah. And it's all right on the Kaskaskia River.
It is. We're on the river.
I know.
That's true.
It's a very nice
And we have town. We have the jumping Japanese. Is it Japanese carp?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. They jump into people's boats and over their boats.
They do. They'll slap you in the face. It makes fishing exciting. And fish are fighting back.
They're fighting back. It's a full contact sport now, that fishing.
Exactly.
That's great.
Full contact. Well, okay, so here we are. We're still working on the opening joke Jeopardy categories. A reminder, again, they might not necessarily be a joke. It could be an amusing anecdote, a humorous story, or interesting trivia. It's going to be a tough choice for you today, Matt. We're running out of categories. we do still have bad joke number one. And by the way, just real quick, from Ray, just in case this whole thing flops, at least there'll be something worthwhile. Again, from Ray, one of his jokes was, why is no one friends with Dracula?
I don't know. Why is that?
Because he's a pain in the neck.
Oh, boy.
All right. So if the rest of this flops, at least you got that.
At least you got one halfway decent joke.
But here are the categories. Bad jokes, number one. Vegetable conspiracy. The latest in technology. Laughter is the best medicine. And I've actually forgot this one the last few weeks. Opposite words was another category
we've had.
Interesting. I forgot that last few weeks. So there are, again, vegetable conspiracy, laughter is the best medicine, latest technology, opposite words, or, of course, just bad jokes, if that's what you'd like.
We need some Jeopardy music in the background here. Yeah.
Do, 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 do,
oh, well, there you go. Do, look at that. Right on cue. Let's go with how about vegetable conspiracy for 500?
Vegetable conspiracy. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is a concern that I have. Because right now, what are we being told to do?
Eat your vegetables.
Eat your vegetables.
Of course. Yeah.
But you don't remember this because you're just Matt Youngblood Clark. But
before
I can remember as an old man that they used to tell us that smoking was a good thing to do. There were commercials that said doctors recommend it. It's healthy for you. And then we found out what? Huh? What did we find out?
It might not be so healthy for you after all.
And then, of course, there was a whole campaign telling us that we need to eat steak. Can't go wrong with eating steak. And now, of course, we find out that really red meat is probably again
something to stay away from.
And of course, there was the whole drink milk. Got milk? Remember that campaign?
Oh, yeah, you get a little milk mustache. Yeah,
millions of dollars spent, and now they've come out with the latest thing from the FDA and says, really, you probably should have some milk for the calcium, but probably not so much milk, not so much cheese. It's just a little small part of the overall plate. You know, we don't have pyramids anymore.
We have little plates and wheels.
But cheese and stuff, any of those milk products, that's probably not the biggest thing in your... But, of course, at one point, oh, man, keep eating the milk. The government was giving away the cheese. That's how good it was supposed to be for you.
It's just that good. They're giving it away.
And so my thought is, what if the same thing is going to happen with vegetables?
Oh, boy.
Don't you think? I'm sure.
It's only a matter of time.
That's right. They're going to find out that this is what's killing us, eating all the carrots and tomatoes and lettuce and stuff and everything. My theory is that someday we're going to find out that hot fudge sundaes are really the most important thing in your diet. You need to eat more and more. And donuts.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Well, have you heard any reports about hot fudge sundaes? Have you heard any medical studies about donuts? I think not.
Making things up.
Okay.
No,
it's a good thing we did that. It's a good thing we did the Dracula joke, but, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is, because it's been downhill from there.
That's right. Well, that's all I've got.
Well, that's good. You know, you're right. What's left to eat, you know?
It's crazy. Really, it is crazy. When you look at it there's nothing healthy. And I'm telling you, hot fudge sundaes, people, someday we're going to find out and baked potatoes with lots of butter and sour cream.
Loaded. Would you like that loaded?
Loaded.
Of course I would like it loaded.
That's right.
You know who sells hot fudge sundaes?
Who sells hot fudge sundaes?
Ted Drews.
Ted Drews. There you go.
Come on over. Stop by Ascension. Visit Ted Drews. All right. So we're changing gears a little over, you know, from what we've been talking about the past couple Saturdays,
Can
right?
I give you a break? Give you a chance to do a little more study on these gifts?
Let me take a breath here from the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah.
Talking about, look at that, vegetables, fruit. That is one fruit that'll always be good for you, the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
So we've been looking at that from Galatians 5. We've gotten past the first couple, love and joy, and we'll pick up again. But Pastor Jolly John has something he'd like to share.
Yeah, we read across this a few weeks ago, and it's actually my favorite parable. And I thought I'd just like to share it with people. Have you got a favorite parable?
Well, if I had to give one, it might be this one too, because Jesus explains it.
Oh, that's true.
It makes it easier.
Isn't there something about making it easier?
Have
a point.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Yeah. So it is kind of nice that Jesus tells
us. Jesus has a point.
Yeah, he has a point. He doesn't just tell you some parable. What kind of crazy stuff is that? Although, you know, my second favorite, in fact, it was my first favorite for a long time until I learned the wonders of this parable. I love the parable of the lost sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you admit that? You got to love that.
Well, all those lost parables. I mean, I think it's in Luke's gospel, right? In order, you got the lost son, and lost sheep, and coin. And all those just powerful, the father's love for us.
And then the prodigal son is in there, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Beautiful.
But now that I've discovered what the real meaning of this parable is, like I said, I'm kind of fickle. It may not be my favorite all the time, but right now it is my favorite. And the parable is the sower and the seed.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
You want to read it for us, Matthew?
I'd love to. So we're in Matthew 13.
Matthew 13.
Beginning with verse 1.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Very good.
Is he sowing vegetables? I never thought about that.
The whole agriculture theme of this episode.
Okay. That's right. It was intentional. It was
our
a theme.
It's county fair time, right?
When
you
That's
go
right.
to your county fair.
They're out
fair.
There harvesting the corn and everything, of course. We're very sensitive to what's going on.
It was all
in the
plan.
World around us. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Quit making things up.
All right. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.
Now, you know, we've talked about this phenomena that you come back to a text that you've done many, many times before. Of course, I've done them many more times than you have.
I think that's safe to say. many, many more times.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you so much. And how you're always discovering something. You think you got the thing mastered, and then there's always something new, and you're wondering, how did I not see this before? So let me just share with you some of the new insights
that I had
on this text. The first thing is the whole beginning of the text, okay? What happens in the beginning of this text, Matt?
Well, Jesus is in a boat.
Yeah.
Okay. great. Is that what you're fishing for?
Why is he in the boat?
Because there's great crowds gathered about him. Yeah, so much he gets into the boat and sits down. You know, I love that. You know, he gets in the boat. You know, have you ever seen the movie Moby Dick?
No, I haven't.
So at the beginning of the movie, this whole movie, this gruff-looking pastor in this seaside town goes up to preach, and his pulpit looks like a big boat.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I love it.
Is that right?
And to get into it, he has to climb up a cargo net.
Oh, you're kidding. This is Moby Dick, the movie?
Moby Dick, yeah. That's one of the first scenes.
And so there you got that picture, and this is what Jesus is doing. He's in a boat.
Yeah, so he's in a boat, but for a different reason. The crowds are so great. You know, he's getting pressed in on it. It appears so he can actually address the crowd. He gets in the boat, and he sits down in the boat.
And here's the thing I never noticed before, because Matthew makes a big deal of the fact that he comes out and he's surrounded by this great crowd. Mm-hmm. And I never realized before that that's significant, because actually what Jesus should be doing is going away and staying in a house somewhere. Because if you read the chapter before this, the whole story is how people are beginning now to reject Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes have criticized him because he was not obeying the Sabbath rules. In fact, the scribes and the Pharisees have said that he's Beelzebul. How does he do the miracles and works? Well, he's in with the devil on this. His own family has come up thinking that he's kind of crazy and maybe he should just come home and settle down. And in fact, immediately after this story, he goes to his hometown of Nazareth and they hate him. They get upset. They want to kill him, you know. So I'm thinking, if you had all these people out there persecuting you, giving you trouble, criticizing you, wouldn't you want to just kind of crawl in a hole, stay inside, lock the door, forget you people? I don't want anything. Yeah, you know.
Why did he come out of the house? He was tucked away inside the house. No, but he goes out.
Yeah, see, and that's the phenomenal thing, that despite the fact that these people are opposing him, and indeed the crowds in the end will turn against him, he still comes out and addresses the crowds. And this actually fits in with the parable he's saying, because what does the sower do with the seed?
He sows it.
Yeah, he goes out again into the field and starts throwing it, even though he realizes that three-quarters of that seed is going to be wasted. Yeah. People are not going to receive it. It's going to be dead and gone and will be of no benefit. And yet the whole point of the parable is that the sower still goes right out into the field, despite the opposition he's going to encounter, and he continues to sow this great word of the kingdom, Jesus explains at the end of the parable.
Yeah, the sower still sows, even though some of the seed's going to be wasted. And he knows it as he goes out. And Jesus still comes out of the house, still goes in the boat, still sows that seed of his word.
And see, I never saw that connection that Matthew is actually setting up the parable by telling us this is exactly what Jesus is doing.
Yeah.
How easy it would be, how we would probably withdraw from people if they are opposed to us. But Jesus just goes out, and he doesn't preach a word of judgment, although there is a judgment here, there's a law here, but it's really primarily just this beautiful message that I want you to have the word of the kingdom. I even want you who reject me to know that there is a God who loves and forgives you. Maybe we should jump down. As you pointed out, Matt, we do have an explanation, which was one of the things that makes this parable so neat. You want to go ahead and read the explanation?
Sure. This is what Jesus does. Yeah, sower sows. That's what he does. The Savior saves. That's what he does. You know, as a teacher, as the rabbi, he teaches. That's what he does. That's what he's come to do.
And even though he knows it might not necessarily work in all instances, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spread that word out there.
Okay, so we're down to Matthew 13, verse 18, where the parable is explained. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. and for what was sown among the thorns. Well, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful.
Yeah, let's just stop there until we get to the good part, the happy conclusion, as it were. Matt, it was interesting, and it'll be. I'd like to hear your reflections on this as a young pastor. Although you've been in the ministry for what now? You're hardly a young pastor anymore. How many?
Well, let's see here.
You remember so we had fun. The big service, yeah, and you yeah, were yeah. ordained.
Seven years. Yeah. We just passed up 7 years, I believe. Wow.
Okay.
Time flies.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So you're not a rookie at this by any means anymore. But I can remember when I was a younger pastor, I didn't really understand what this parable was about. But now after 36 years of experience, I realize Jesus is just saying, this is how it works. It does. Yeah. As a pastor, all I do is what the sower does. I just preach the gospel. I tell people about God's love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And what is described here is exactly what happens in the parish. Have you experienced this yet, or is everything still going real? Well, of course, you're the new guy in Ascension. You know, you have that kind of honeymoon period.
Yeah.
So how's your experience been? Everybody just welcome Pastor Clark, or what's going on?
Well, I mean, for the most part.
Pretty nice. Well, you're such a nice guy.
Well, and they're such a nice congregation.
Yeah.
But how can they not be happy? We're right by Ted Drews, right?
That's right.
But anyway, I see
not
this.
From eating vegetables, by the way, but by being close to Ted Drews.
We need
to do a survey. I bet you people who eat Ted Drews live longer than people that don't. But anyway, that's a different subject. I'm sorry. I distracted you.
No, okay. It doesn't take much. Ted Drews will do it. But definitely. It doesn't take long to be in the ministry to see this, right? And this idea of, and it's not necessarily how people are, how they treat me or they're nice or not to me, but it's you work hard and you share the word and you're trying to be there for people. And then sometimes people just don't come to worship, or they just don't believe it. And it's frustrating. It is a little frustrating as a pastor because of my sinful self, mostly.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think that it's if I'm winsome enough or do it in the in a really persuasive way or a really creative way, then surely people are going to believe. Surely people are going to want to come to worship.
If you give them a free bookmark,
on your service series, how could you stay away? Not that creativity is bad, okay, but the idea that no, it's not what creates faith, and that's not what makes Christians. No, certainly not. So I think for me, at least, the longer I've been at it, still just I am a drop in the bucket compared to Jolly John
Thanks.
Over here.
Thanks, man.
But I more and more I find comfort from this parable, though, because it's not about me; it's about the Word. And my jobs as a pastor, or I would say the job of any Christian, really, is to spread that word.
Yes.
To just simply sow the word. And then the result that happens, what happens in people's lives, that's up to the Holy Spirit. That's up to the Lord, ultimately. So I find comfort in this parable now as a pastor that my job is to sow the word. Lord, forgive me if I don't. If I share that word, unfaithfully or manipulate the word, no. But my job is to simply share that word of God, that faithfully share that word, sow it, and God takes it from there.
And that is the comfort for us as pastors. It's the comfort for us as Christians. We're not responsible for people coming to faith. We just share with them, like you say, we share with them the word of the kingdom that Jesus talks about, the fact that there is a God that loves, Jesus Christ has come to redeem us. And where that goes, we have no control over that. And I'm glad you have that feeling, because as a young pastor, I think I felt bad. I thought, I'm doing something wrong. Like you say, apparently I'm not being winsome enough or not being clear enough or whatever, or more convincing enough. And again, as you said, we're not saying you shouldn't try to be winsome, because I think sometimes people go out of the way to just be. And I think, well, how do you expect anyone to respect the word of God if you're being mean and nasty?
Yeah.
We do need to reflect the love of Christ. Love others as he has loved us. But ultimately, whether people believe or not, that's not in my hands. It's in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I've experienced all these things. I've had the people which were like the hard ground. You gave them the word, and their eyes just glazed over. You could tell that this meant absolutely nothing to them.
Yeah.
Just went in one ear and out the other. I have had the people who with joy just, it says with joy, and I'm thinking of our discussion. But apparently they didn't understand the difference between joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because as soon as problems and trials came across us, oh, well,
the
I'm going to
circumstances changed.
Yeah. I went to church, and I thought God was going to be good to me. Well, he wasn't good to me, so why am I wasting my time here? Which, of course, reflected that they didn't really understand what church was about at all. You don't go to church so God will be good to you. That's not what it's about. And then, of course, this last one, too. I've seen that happen, too, where people came often because of struggles and trials. And then when the struggles and trials went away, and then when they were showered with blessings, with the riches that it talks about here, and then we don't need God anymore because now we got everything settled. We're taken care of, which is ironic, isn't it? So both trials and blessings
can lead you away from the Savior.
Yeah. But here's the insight that I had not had previous to this. See, you talked about it being a comfort to you as a pastor, a comfort to all of us as Christians, that we don't need to worry about being responsible for people to have faith. But what if you find yourself the person who really has been hard-hearted? It isn't that you haven't heard the Word of God. Yeah, there's been preacher guys. Mm-hmm. You maybe even turned into wrestling with the basics sometimes, but it just didn't mean anything to you. And you suddenly realize, oh, that's a problem. I really have kind of been hard-hearted. Or maybe you are the person who has left the church because things didn't go the way you thought they should, and that kind of made you mad that God wasn't doing what you thought he should do. Or maybe you have been the person who let your earthly possessions become more important to you, and you kind of neglected the Word of God. What if you find yourself in the situation of these soils? Don't you realize the great comfort there is for you here? Do you think God's going to throw you out and say, well, too bad, you're out of here, get out? No, that's the whole point of the parable. You are precisely the people to whom Jesus Christ is coming and giving the word of grace and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You are precisely the people that he has gone out to and thrown out the seed. And once you realize that, then all of a sudden you become what is in the final verse of the parable. Would you mind reading that, if you would?
Sure. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30.
And so, see, that's the thing. If we find ourselves in these given situations, don't despair. Don't lose hope. Don't think that God doesn't care about you, but open your eyes and understand, of course he cares about you. This is why he's given you the word that he has given you this day, so that he can take you and give you fruit. The thing we've been talking about. Isn't it wonderful we plan this stuff out?
I know.
Yeah. People thought, oh, they just went off on a parable. No, of course, because this is a parable about people bearing
fruit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, 100-fold.
And so that's why this is now my favorite parable, because it is a parable about how tremendous and unending is the grace and love of God. All right, so you're having a little trouble with the word right now. What's God going to do? Is he going to say, well, that's it, no more word for you? Nah, here, have some more seed, Keep sowing. Because you're nothing but soil anyway. I don't expect anything to come from you by your work or effort. You're just soil. But I'm going to keep putting seed in you. Yeah. And sooner or later, that seed's going to bear a harvest of what was it there? 100-fold, 60, and another 30. So that's why this is presently my favorite parable, because it's a parable. See, we don't want to do that. We want to kind of divide the people. Oh, those could be Christians, or that person could be a Christian. Oh, we don't want to waste our time on them. But you need to understand that is never the attitude of God. God just wants to give people this seed of the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And if sometimes you have a little trouble accepting it and deal with it, that's okay. God will just come back out and throw some more seed, even as he did on that day when there were so many people opposing him, but he still went out and he proclaimed this great word of a God of mercy and care and compassion.
Well, and I think that's so important for us as pastors, or for people may not receive it, to keep sowing, keep sowing that word. Yep. And even for those who may be a family member, some of our listeners who may be these other types of soils,
keep sowing
that word. Keep
just
sharing
keep
the
loving
word.
Them and sharing with them the forgiveness. Thank you, Matt. Well, thank you for letting me share with you my parable, and we'll return back to the gift of the Spirit, or the fruit of the
Spirit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Great. Sounds like a plan. We'll see you next week.